Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you have given us and blessed us with, for the privilege to come into your presence and to truly adore you and worship you and tell you in everything we do in this service how much we love you. We thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you that we don't have to weep as your children, those who are Christians, who have received Christ as personal Lord and Savior. For we know God's final plan. We know that He is in charge. And instead of weeping like the Apostle John, Father, we shout. We shout and we shout and we praise Him and we praise Him because our Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. He never has error in anything He does. And I thank you so much for this church and what this church stands for. I thank you for their love for Christ and one another. I thank you that they love the gospel that Jesus Christ has given us. I thank you, Heavenly Father. They're willing to take a stand. They're not backing up, but they're going forward, realizing that we do serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give us understanding this morning, I pray, as we begin to look at the message in Revelation chapter 5, that we will not weep, but we will shout for great joy, knowing that the kingdom of God is on its way and nothing is going to stop it. It truly is non-negotiable, the final plan of God. Father, this day is your day. You're truly sovereign over it. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, you'll notice the printout, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, and we're still in the throne room of heaven. Well, we're going to begin with verse 5. I hope you have something to write with. There are some things that I have not seen nor thought of until this morning in rereading in the book of Revelation and also the Gospel of John. Let's look at verse 5. Then one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping." Underline those two words, "stop weeping." And why is the elder telling John to stop weeping? Because John is thinking, if no one is found to open the scroll, God's kingdom will never come. Then one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look closely, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." Underline the word root. Have you ever wondered why he referred to the Root of David? Well, when you underline that word root, when you look it up, it means Jesus preceded David. Well, how do I know that? Well, if you have a Bible, you'd turn to John chapter 1, verse 1, and it talks about Jesus, that he has always existed. He has no beginning and he has no end. So there was Jesus in eternity past before anything existed or anything was created. So he is referred to as the Root of David because Jesus preceded David, has overcome and conquered. He can open, underline the word open. Jesus Christ can open the scroll because he has the power and the authority to carry out God's final plan. And I'm glad that we have God's final plan in the Word of the living God, that we will not weep like John wept, that we will be shouting victoriously. We will say all glory and praise and thanksgiving unto the living God, for His final plan is going to be carried out and it's going to be non-negotiable. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. Now let's look at A. Who is worthy to open the scroll and administer the judgment of the seals? That's a simple answer. That is Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to go back to Revelation chapter 4 and reread it, it's just 11 verses. What would you get out of reading those 11 verses? Well, to me, I get out one thing that is very important, and that it's all about Jesus Christ. All praise is granted unto Him. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. Again, He has no beginning and He has no end. He is sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. And He's all-sufficient. Now, when you think about Revelation chapter 4 again, verses 1 through 11, I have some questions that I want to ask you. Number one, is life all about us? How would you answer that? No, it's not. Number two, who is life all about? Jesus Christ, God, and also the Holy Spirit. Number three, do you find your name in chapter 4? You don't, do you? Who do you find? Jesus. Who's getting all the praise and all the glory? All right, it is Jesus Christ. Number four, the older I get, I find everything fading in the background as I realize more and more who God and Jesus Christ are. Number five, take time to stand with John in the awesome presence of God and Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to the printout. Look at the letter B. What makes Jesus Christ worthy to judge the earth? There are three things. Number one, His divinity. Was Jesus Christ the God-man? The answer is yes. So He gave us the hypostatic union, which is synonymous with the God-man. Now, the second thing is the humanity of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was fully God, and secondly, of His humanity, He was fully man. And thirdly, is His atoning. It was Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that went to the cross over 2,000 years ago and paid our sin debt in full. So when you talk about the atoning, it means in Jesus Christ, we are sealed, we are safe, and we are secure. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to John. John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to talk about the divinity of Christ for just a few moments. John chapter 1, verse 1. And there's something, Chad, that I have read over and read over, but I have not really seen it until this morning reading in the office. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. In the beginning in the Greek means in eternity past. Before anything was created or existed. In fact, the only thing that existed was the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, or in eternity past, the Word already existed. And the Word was with God. The word was means continuous existence. And the Word was what? Was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. That's a universal invitation given by Jesus Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Thank God for that. Now, let's look at some talking points here. Jesus Christ existed before creation. Is that important? Can you be saved if you do not believe this talking point? You cannot be saved. All right. So there never was a time when He didn't exist. Is that correct? All right. Now look at the Word. Let's go back. In the beginning was the Word. Now listen to this. Because I believe I know a lot of Christians have missed this. The Word, God's Word, is both a person and a message. Now, people will gladly, quickly tell you that I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So you're telling me you have received the person of Christ. Here's the big question also. If you truly received Christ as Savior, did you also at the same time receive His message? If you just say, I received Him, the person, and not the message, you're in big trouble. So to be born again from above, to have a spiritual rebirth, to truly be born by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you must accept two things. Jesus as a person, Jesus as God. Jesus as the appointed Savior of all mankind. Not automatically. You must receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. How does that happen? Very quickly. It happens by God coming to you first and the Holy Spirit coming with Him and them giving you the opportunity to receive Jesus by grace, which comes from God enabling you, and also the gift of faith. So faith is a gift from God and grace is a gift from God. By grace, through faith, are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So to have a biblical salvation, I must receive a person. That person is Jesus Christ. And then I must receive the message of that person. So therefore, if I'm going to be truly born again, that's exactly how it must come about. There is Jesus who is God. And He brought the message that every man is to believe and receive and live by if we're truly going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, it says with God. With God means face to face, which refers to a very intimate fellowship. There is one God with three personal, eternal manifestations. It also says the Word was God. So Jesus is fully divine as well as fully human. Then there's verse 3. All things came into being through Him. Him is Jesus Christ. So all things, both the invisible and visible, were created through Him. Also, make a side note. This is another thing that gives Him the authority and power to judge all mankind. Then there is verse 4. In Him, Jesus Christ, was life. The word life is Zoe, and it means life. This life refers to resurrection life, eternal life, and God's life. And the life was the light of men. The word light refers to the truth and knowledge of Almighty God. And notice, the life was for all human beings on planet Earth. The light shines. Jesus is now clearly manifested to the whole world. Well, let's look at verses 12 and 13 as we look at the atonement. Verse 12. But to all who believed Him, who's Him? Jesus Christ. And accepted Him. Who's Him? Jesus Christ. What does the word accepted mean in front of Him? I thought we were through. But to all who believe Him, they're saved. Now that's what most people will tell you. I believe in Jesus Christ, so I am saved. And have accepted Him. What does it mean to accept Him? It means to accept all that He is and to accept, once again, the message that He brought along with Him, actually that He gave for men to write. He gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from who? God, from above. All right, let's go back to the printout, if you will. So the letter B. So what makes Jesus Christ worthy to judge mankind? It is, number one, his divinity. He is fully God. Then it is his humanity. He is fully human. Did he have an old sin nature? The answer is no. How is the old sin nature passed down? Through the seed of man. Did Jesus Christ have a human father? The answer is no. It was a supernatural birth created by the Holy Spirit of God. All right? Then you have the atoning. The atoning in Jesus Christ. We are sealed. We are safe. We are secure. Look at John 5, 22 and 27. For the Father judges no one, but has given all. You might want to circle the word all. He's given all judgment. Now, are you seeing, are you putting all of this together? Why Jesus Christ is the one that all judgment is to be given to? Because he is what? He's fully God. He is fully man, and Jesus Christ fully knows every human being that has ever been born. All right? For the Father, that's God the Father, judges no one, but has given all judgment, that is the prerogative of judging, to the Son, that is placing it entirely into his hands. And he has given him authority, there is divine authority, to execute judgment, because he knows the heart and life of every human being, because he is a son of man. Underline that phrase, son of man. I'll repeat what I did a while ago. He is the son of man, meaning, which is so important, that he was fully God and is fully God and fully man, so Jesus Christ fully knows us. He's talking about sinless humanity, qualifying him to sit in judgment over mankind. Now listen to this. Judgment for non-Christians is ahead of them. It is going to be the great white throne judgment. And it is extremely scary to stand before if you study it. For Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, our judgment is behind us. Our judgment is behind us. So Jesus Christ was judged on our behalf on the cross. What does it mean? Jesus paid our sin debt in full. Every sin that I will ever commit has already been paid for by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Romans chapter 8, something very interesting. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now, at this present time and going forward, no condemnation. Underline the word condemnation. In the Greek language, the word condemnation is kata krima. Well, here we go. Write down great white throne judgment. Guess what word that is? Kata krima. Let's put it together. Therefore, there is now no great white throne judgment for the child of God that is in Jesus Christ. Non-negotiable, period. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. No kata krima. No great white throne judgment. No guilty verdict. No punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. Notice the two words, has overcome, and they're located in verse 5 at the top of the page. If you look it up in the Greek language, it refers to an aorist active indicative, which implies an accomplished fact. Calvary. Is Calvary an accomplished fact? Yes, it is. It is stamped with the seal and the authority and power of Almighty God. Is Jesus going to get back up on the cross? He's not going to do that. He paid your sin debt in full one time, and that is all it takes. That's why after death there is no purgatory. There is no second chance to come and accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You either do it now or it does not get done. which implies an accomplished fact. Calvary, it's done. And the empty tomb, it's empty. Jesus Christ is not going back inside that tomb. It is empty. It's going to stay empty, proving once again that He is fully God. Now, notice the lion is not going to conquer by his power, but by his sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I'm learning more all the time how radical the kingdom of God is. And it is way different from our thinking. Verses 6 and 7. And there between the throne with the four living creatures and among, underline the word among means and close to the throne, the elders, I saw a lamb, Christ, standing, bearing scars and wounds as though, underline the word though and write the word if. I'll tell you why. The Lord is now alive and appears with the marks of the sacrifice. And where is He? He is in the third heaven where God dwells. Why not so? Because Jesus Christ is God and He has the right to dwell in the third heaven also and to sit on a throne. All right, here we go. As if it had been slain with seven horns, complete power, and with seven eyes, complete knowledge, an all-knowing Lord and Lamb, which are the seven spirits of God, who have been sent on duty into all the earth. And He came and took the scroll from the right hand. Underline the two words, right hand. You're actually talking about the open palm of Him who sat on the throne. Now put this together. If Jesus Christ is walking towards the one who has the scroll in His right palm, who's sitting on the throne of God? The living God? All right, because where is Jesus? He's walking towards the throne to receive something out of the hand of the living God that nobody else has the right to receive. Now look at the question at the bottom. A lamb on the throne. Why is that so strange? Now let me ask you something. Who would you pick? Well, the regal lion. The lion. The very powerful lion. Is that who you and I would pick? I want you to listen very closely. Top of page 2. A lamb, the most defenseless of creatures, so weak it must be protected not only by its mother but by a shepherd. The lamb is on the throne. The lamb is king. The lamb reigns what? Over all. A lion would make sense, but not a lamb. The most powerless of creatures, reigning on the throne with all power and over all. And it's a symbol of Messiah. Did the Jews, would they rather have the lion than the lamb? They want the lion to come and take over the Roman Empire and the Roman government that was such a threat, they said, to them. But in the kingdom of God, it is the lamb that rules. So in the kingdom of the Lamb, the weak are strong and the strong are weak. So in this kingdom, if you would have, you must let go. If you would receive, you must give. If you lower yourself, you will be lifted up. If you become little, you will become great. If you lose yourself, you will find yourself. If you surrender, you will prevail. And if you die to yourself, you will find life. As He died and found life, and as He surrendered all and has prevailed over all and over the kingdom, and if you walk in the footsteps of the Lamb, you too will prevail and overcome the world. For we are of the most radical of kingdoms, the kingdom of the Lamb. Surprise you? Now do you understand why you must do more than accept Jesus Christ at salvation? If you don't go on to accept this message, then you're going to live according to how radical the mind is without Jesus Christ. But you say, I've received Christ as my Savior. How come this Christianity is not working out for me? Where's the power and where's the authority to do what I read in the Bible? Oh, brother and sister, listen to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but He brought a message of the gospel with Him, how man must believe and how man must behave and how man must live. If he's going to be a recipient of what he reads in the Word of the living God. So Jesus Christ and the Word of God, His message go together. You cannot pull them apart and expect to live the Christian life pleasing unto Him and be a blessing unto you and others. Point one, Jesus is regal like a lion. We don't argue that. And He was slain like a sacrificial lamb to atone for the sins of the whole world. John 3:16. For God greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave His only and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and trusts in Him as Savior shall not perish, no, not ever, but have everlasting life. I want to break this down very quickly. Look at that phrase, God so loved. The word love is agapao. It is the highest form of love. It is what? Of God's love for man. And I sat there in the office once again, and I thought, let this penetrate. God loves me. God loves you. And this is a love that you cannot be severed from. It is covenant love. God's always going to love you. Somebody in your house may want to kick you out. You're not doing what they want you to do. But let me tell you something. There is forgiveness and covenant loyalty and covenant love that comes from Almighty God. It is non-negotiable. It does not change. It is there for you, child of God. Take advantage of it. The word so expresses method and not emotion. So God demonstrated His love by giving. You know, if I really love God, what am I going to do? I'm going to be a giver. No one should ever beg you to give to help somebody or give your tithe. And you don't hear me teach on tithe very much. You know why? Because it's expected. Not of Terry Davis, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know you don't want to turn Him down in any way. So God demonstrated His love by giving and sending His Son to die on mankind's behalf. So if you're a child of God, what's going to characterize you? At least one thing. You're going to give and you're going to give and you're going to be a hilarious giver, the Bible says. You know why? Because what you get in return is going to make you laugh saying, I didn't give near this much and look what I got back. The word world. This is a universal invitation to the whole human race. God loves this planet and human beings. Let's go to the top of page 3. Notice He says that He gave His only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. Begotten means unique, one of a kind. There is not another Jesus Christ. Amen. Now connect the dots. So there is not another message I need to accept and believe and live by except the message that comes from Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Thank you. And whosoever believes in Him, this refers to continuing. Let me say something that Southern Baptists may fall down and cry and moan, but you'll get over it. Whatsoever believes in Him, whosoever believes in Him, this refers to continuing. If there is no continuing in what you say is salvation in your life, you're as lost as you can be. Do you think that's strange? Or did you get happy one day and walk down the aisle? Did you have an emotional breakdown and walk down the aisle? Or did the Holy Spirit walk you down the aisle? Did you have a spiritual rebirth or an emotional rebirth? If the seed is planted, how shallow is the ground? How deep is the heart that says it's saved? This refers to continuing. Secondly, God always initiates the response and God always sets the agenda. I don't have an agenda. God's got it. So when you walk in this door and hear something else, if you accepted Christ as Savior and if you accepted the message that comes along with Him, you will know this. Number three, since this is covenant loyalty and love, whosoever believes must respond and continue to respond to his offer and his conditions, period, non-negotiable. So if you think you can say, Jesus is my Savior, and live like the devil, you're wrong. Shall not perish, meaning some will perish. I'm sorry. But again, somebody that knows the message that came with Jesus should share it with you so you will not perish, hopefully. Point two, God does not cause, direct, or will unbelief. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp. Church of Christ would love this. They're holding a harp, usually a 10 string, and golden bowls full of fragrant incense, which are the prayers of the saints, God's people. And they sang, underline the word sang. It means to chant with emotion. Are you telling me it's okay to get excited in church? That's what Jesus said. Are you telling me it's okay to have some emotion in church? That's what Jesus said. And they sang, they chant with emotion, a new song. Underline the word new. It means a fresh song for new mercies. Let me sum it up for you in one word. They are thankful. And if you're really thankful unto the Lord, you can't help but sing. And I know some of you can't sing. So hum. Do what you can. Tap your feet. Do like this with your fingers. Just show some appreciation. You might surprise yourself. Worthy. Worthy to receive adoration and worship. And deserving are you. Who's you? The Lamb, Jesus. Where's the lion? Judgments are coming. And you're strutting before me a lamb? I don't think Putin and the old boy in China is going to take that too seriously. Let me tell you something. The Lamb is greater than any bomb that can be put together by mankind. Amen. Jesus could take the greatest bomb in his hand and laugh at it. It is nothing. There's no threat from anybody when you are God. Absolute sovereignty, absolute power, absolute authority. There is no one greater. So I say to Hainesville Baptist Church, don't even begin to shed a tear over what you're seeing on TV or hearing from the news. For Jesus Christ will take the scroll from the hand of God, and he will bring about God's final plan. Well, look below verses 8 and 9. Those prayers that we read about rise, meaning prayer truly reaches God and pleases him. Number two, Christ's redemption is of a diverse population. Now listen to this, woke. Listen to this, Black Lives Matter. And by the way, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. It only matters when they want to bring up racism. Well, I want you to listen to him address racism. Christ's redemption is of a diverse population. Why do we have woke? Why do we have cancel culture? Why do we have Black Lives Matter? Because Satan is trying and continues to try to disrupt what he knows is of God, that salvation is for every bit of mankind. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. And Satan is trying to stir the pot. Keep them excited. Keep them busy in looting and stealing and corrupting. Because Satan knows God wants all people saved. And racism, he laughs at that too. The mention, number three, of redeemed people in heaven, being from every tribe and language and people and nation, portrays the ethnic, linguistic, and national diversity that will be present in eternity. This means, point three, that difference and diversity are not problems to God to be solved, but were part of God's plan from the very beginning. God says, I love all my people that live on planet Earth, and I will not turn anyone down regardless of skin color. So do you see what Satan is stirring? Once again, if you will take the time to accept the message and the Savior, or the what? The message with the Savior, you would know this, and you will not fight one another except in war. And thank God that He has been on the side of the United States of America, because we went under the banner of Almighty God Himself. This means that difference and diversity are not problems to be solved, but were part of God's plan from the very beginning. God delights in the variety and beauty of His creation. Here is the complete worship service around the throne. And here we see clearly that red, yellow, black, and white are all so precious in God's sight. And therefore, give a Gideon Bible to all of them in Jesus' name. Because when you get to heaven, there is no white supremacy. That's a joke too. There is no white supremacy. Do you know what? The Supreme One is God and Jesus Christ. They are supreme. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank You for the message that comes with Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray there's so many that say, I'm saved, and they come to church but never read the message. And they're so disappointed and discouraged. And like many today, they say, oh me, look at our president. I say, oh boy, look at Jesus Christ. Look at God the Father. Look at the Word of God. God's plan is being carried out. God's final plan. And guess what? It's going to be in the hands of Jesus. Don't worry about it. Just do what the message tells you to do. Be a witness for Jesus. Give to what is worthy to save mankind from itself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.